12 minutes to go. I position the chair in front of the bomb. The back of the chair is made of plywood, a real win, so I drill holes in it at the right separation, then get Alan to hold the basilisk box while I chop strips of duct tape off the reel and bind it to the chair immediately in front of the X, where I think the explosive lenses lie. Bingo! One chair, one basilisk gun, a box with a camcorder to either side, taped to the back of the chair. One ticking hydrogen bomb. The back of my neck itches, as if already feeling the flash of X-rays ripped from the bleeding plasma of the bomb's casing when the pit disassembles in a few scant shakes of Teller's alarm clock. I'm powering up the gun now. The gun's sensors face the bomb through the holes I've drilled in the chair's back. I switch it on and watch the charge indicator. Damn, the cold doesn't seem to have done the batteries any good. It's still live, but close to the red recharge zone. Okay, I say, leaning back. One more thing to do. We have to trip the observe button.
Yes, that seems obvious, says Alan. Mind me asking why?
Not at all. I close my eyes, feeling as if I've just run a marathon. The basilisk spontaneously causes about 1% of the carbon nuclei in the target in front of it to tunnel into silicon, with one hell of an energy release at the same time, of course.
But plutonium isn't carbon.
No, but the explosive lenses are made of RDX, which is a polynitrated aromatic hydrocarbon compound. You turn 1% of the RDX charge into silicon, and it will go bang very enthusiastically indeed, if we offset it to one side like this. I nudge the chair a couple of centimeters. One side of the A-bomb's explosive lenses pre-detonate, totally out of sequence, causing a fizzle. Imagine a giant's fist squeezing the plutonium core. Now, imagine he's left his thumb off the top. Molten plutonium squirts out instead of compressing around the initiator and going bang. You get a messy neutron pulse, but no supercriticality excursion. Maybe explosive disassembly of the case and a mess of radiation, but no mushroom cloud. Alan glances at his watch.
9 minutes. You'd better be going.
Nine? What do you mean? He looks at me tiredly.
Laddie, unless there's a timer on this basilisk gadget, someone has to stay here and pull the trigger. You're a civilian, but I signed up for the Queen's Shilling.
Bullshit! I glare at him. You've got a wife and kids. If anyone's disposable around here, it's me.
Firstly, I seem to remember you saying you'd do whatever I said before you came along on this road trip. Secondly, you understand what's going on. You're too bloody important to leave behind. And thirdly, it's my job, he says heavily. I'm a soldier. I'm paid to catch bullets, or neutrons. You're not. So, unless you've got some kind of magic remote controller for...
I blink rapidly. Let me look at it again, I say. The basilisk gun is a bunch of customized IC circuits bolted to a pair of digital camcorders. I lean closer. The good news is they have fast interfaces. The bad news... Shit, no infrared. The TV remote control program on my palm top won't work. I straighten up. No, I say.
Get the hell out of here then, says Alan. You've got 6 minutes. I'm going to wait 60 seconds after you leave the room, then hit the button.
He sounds very calm.
Go on now. Unless you think losing two lives is better than losing one.
Shit. I punch the doorframe twice, oblivious to the pain in my wrist.
Go!
He yells. Upstairs, I pause in the guardroom, about to ignite one of the two hands of glory that are waiting for me on the table. I wonder if I'm far enough away from the bomb. That American scientist, Harry Dagnan, wasn't it, who did something similar by accident in the Manhattan Project, dropped a neutron reflector on top of a weapon core during an experiment. He died a couple days later, but a guard just 10 feet away wasn't affected. There's a muffled thud that I feel through the soles of my boots. A split second later, I hear a noise like a door slamming. I hear my pulse racing erratically. I hear it, therefore I am still alive. I heard the explosion, therefore the bomb fizzled. There will be no nuclear fireball to energize the conquest dreams of the ancient evil that lurks in this pocket universe. All I have to do is pick up the hand and walk back to the slowly evaporating gate before it closes. A minute passes. Then I put down the hand of glory and wait for another minute. It's no good. My feet carry me back inside, and I fasten down my faceplate, switching to my canned air supply, as I head down the corridor that leads to the staircase. At the top of the stairs, I key my microphone. Alan? Are you there? A momentary pause, then...
Right you are, he chuckles hoarsely. Always knew I'd die in my own bed, laddie.
Another pause.
Make sure you're buttoned up before you come downstairs. This isn't a sight most people ever get to see.